And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Umar Paganampake Pagan. Now, earlier this week, Hollywood came to KL as our city played host to the director and stars of the movie Baby Driver. And both Ian and I had the wonderful opportunity to sit down and have a chat with Edgar Wright himself. Go on and have a listen.
First things first, I was really curious. Every time I watch an Edgar Wright movie, the thing that goes through my mind, because, you know, scripts are essentially blueprints, and so much happens when the filming process takes place. But your films are so intricately composed that I'm assuming those scripts must be as intricate.
I guess so. I mean, there's not really a lot of changes that happen during the making of the movie. I'm not like a big fan of improv, and certainly the action is sort of all designed before we start filming. So I spend a lot of time on the script and the sort of the storyboarding process and the prep process, so that once you actually get onto set, you're just shooting the movie. You're not like standing around coming up with ideas or improvising. So it's all pretty precise. And that's, I guess, the way that I work.
First of all, congratulations on the success of the film.
Thank you.
Baby Driver seems to have all the hallmarks of an Edgar Wright movie. After Scott Pilgrim, did you feel the need to tone down your style at all? Because it feels like Baby Driver is a little bit more restrained.
Because Scott Pilgrim is the most Edgar Wright movie we've ever seen, which is great.
Kind of. I mean, that is based on, Scott Pilgrim is based on a comic book, so I can't claim full credit for that movie. I mean, that is, part of that is me bringing those books to life. So I'd say in a weird way that Baby Driver is a more unfiltered Edgar Wright movie in terms of it's completely coming from me and me alone. You know, but I think sort of after Scott Pilgrim, you know, Scott Pilgrim is a movie that I'm very proud of, that I know a lot of people really love, but it didn't connect with a mainstream audience initially. And I think part of that is because for some sort of mainstream audiences, that it was just too out there. So I definitely felt like sort of I probably wouldn't do anything like that, exactly like that again. But that's not to say that I have any issues with the movie. I'm really proud of it. It's more just a thing of having to kind of educate an audience on what it is, which is, so marketing is half the kind of challenge in a way.
You know, the great thing about Scott Pilgrim was how intricately everything worked together, the sound effects and the music and the scripting. And we see a lot of that in Baby Driver as well, which kind of brings me to pop scoring a film. And I was wondering what the process is like for you versus orchestral scoring. I mean, we see it in movies like Bringing Out the Dead and Trainspotting, most recently, of course, with James Gunn in Guardians of the Galaxy. And talk to me about pop scoring a film, because it really runs in contrast with that old adage about, you know, the score should remain in the background and not necessarily punctuate a movie. But your films just work so great with that sort of pop scoring.
Well, it depends what the movie is. I mean, I think my other movies, you know, the sort of Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World's End, Scott Pilgrim, all have songs and score. You know, and I think actually like Scott Pilgrim and Hot Fuzz, kind of the score is quite dominant too. I think the thing is with Baby Driver, the whole idea was is to let the sort of the character is listening to the music in every single scene. So it's completely diegetic. And there's lots of other great films that use pop music that I love. Everything from like Reservoir Dogs to American Wife in London to Goodfellas to, you know, and then another movie that actually is probably the only other movie that I can think of where the music it's all completely diegetic, meaning it happens in the scene, is George Lucas's American Graffiti.
Yeah.
So this was an idea of doing something a little more like that, where the lead character is listening to every single one of these songs. So every time you hear a song, it's actually happening in the scene. And so it takes on a slightly different tone than score, or even the idea of putting a pop song or a rock song onto like a scene after it's filmed. In this movie, they are listening to the songs, which meant that we were playing those songs on set as we shot the scenes.
Following on the music, with the two LPs worth that you managed to cram in there, were any songs you couldn't get in or you couldn't get clearance for?
I couldn't get all of the songs in the film on the soundtrack. Even on a double vinyl, it was too much. So there may still be like a second volume of music at some point. I mean, in terms of the movie, there wasn't anything that dropped. There were a couple of things that I cut out for time. And then there were some songs I just flat out could not clear because they were unclearable themselves. They were like songs where they hadn't cleared the samples. And so they were borderline unclearable.
Right.
So it wasn't a case of money. It was like, this song is impossible to use.
You know, the other great thing I enjoy about pop scoring, especially with what you've done and with what James Gunn has done with Guardians of the Galaxy, is that it's a great effort in kind of cultural sustainability, as in there's an entirely new generation now appreciating this great music from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the same case when Reservoir Dogs or Pulp Fiction came along. There would be artists on those soundtracks that would be reaching a completely new, younger audience, and that's fantastic.
So, yeah, with the Baby Driver LP, we both have it, by the way. And the trailers for your movies, there seems to be every much of a piece. Do you have much of a hand, like the Scott Pilgrim trailer with Invaders Must Die on it, the first trailer for Baby Driver, which had the LP spinning in the air? Do you have much of a hand in the marketing for your movie? Or not, obviously you have a hand in the marketing, but are you very tight on that to keep it in tone with the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky to work with brilliant people in marketing. So, you know, the trailers that Sony did for this are like sort of from within the department. So I got to say, I really like sort of very, very pleased with what they managed to come up with. And, you know, you get in, I'm involved in the process, but I don't physically edit the trailers myself, but I've been very happy with what they've done.
Talk to us about, I guess, the car chase movie as dance and ballet. We've seen, John Frankenheimer used to do it. Ang Lee did a great thing in a BMW short a long time ago, which had that similar feel. And working with Paul Maklis and Ryan Huffington, what was that like choreographing those scenes? And also, you know, we read that piece about having an editor on set at all times. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think basically the idea was to kind of make the entire film choreographed to the music, whether it's an action scene or a sort of dramatic scene. So we basically like rehearsed every part of it before we started shooting. And that was like a combination of the efforts of camera department, the stunt department, the choreographer, which is Ryan Heffington. And then, you know, I had two editors on this movie, Paul Maklis and John Amos. Paul Maklis was there on set the entire time. And we edited on set so we could always just make sure that everything was still in time in the music. So we were sort of editing the movie, but we were mainly checking out whether the choreography of the music worked. So that was basically what we were doing. And
what is that like? Because I hear Bong Joon-ho did something similar for Snowpiercer as well, that he had his editor on set and they would look at rushes that evening. And basically by the time the shoot was over, they had almost a complete film.
Well, we still edited for like 7 months after we finished filming. But the main thing was, is you just wanted to make sure that you had it. So it was like, especially with something like this, where it's such tight on choreography, you want to make sure that you are not missing anything, or that it works, or that mostly that it's kind of like the bits that you're putting in time in the music are actually in time. So editing that on set helped that.
Space was obviously one of the best TV shows ever made. With the kind of golden age of TV at the moment, would everything ever entice you to go back to television, do you think?
I think it would just be about what the material was. People ask me that all the time, but it's not something where I necessarily respond on format alone. I don't go, I must do a TV series. Mm-hmm. I think of it more as like, what would I want to spend my time doing? You know, what story do I want to tell? So if something came along and it was that it was a story that would be better suited for TV, or somebody came to me with something that I really wanted to do, then why not? but I don't know what that is at the moment.
Is there anything of the current crop of TV you'd like to try your hand at?
I mean, most of the things kind of exist perfectly well without me. Like, you know, Twin Peaks doesn't need me. David Lynch has got that. I just want to see what he does. So I think a lot of the things, well, a lot of the shows that are really creator-led, I'm happy to just watch as a fan and not kind of like get involved.
You know, we were watching The Driver by Walter Hill after catching Baby Driver. And there's an interesting parallel between both movies, which was I found that both movies are really about, or at least the heroes of the film, are really about people who do their jobs well.
Yes.
And what was interesting is that things go wrong when people stop doing their jobs well.
Yeah, it's about people being professional. So I think that's the thing is I think, you know, like in the Driver, the Walter Hill film, you know, like Ryan O'Neill lives by a code and he has a sort of like a list of things that he will or won't do. And when those rules are disobeyed, things start to go badly wrong. I think with Baby Driver, it's almost like Ansel's character is like a savant. He happens to be this amazing driver and he's, you know, great at his job, but it's not something, a profession that he actually wants to be in. And I think what the movie is about is him realizing that he doesn't want to be that guy and he doesn't want to be in this business anymore. And he would rather leave a relatively normal life with Deborah.
Edgar, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was Edgar Wright, the director of Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Spaced, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and of course, Baby Driver, which is now in cinemas, which is something we urge you strongly to go check out because it's absolutely marvelous. You've been listening to At the Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.